are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Ever notice how a supportive friend can turn your worst day into just another story to laugh about later? Being there for your friend is like having a superpower. And the best part is it's one anyone can develop. So let's talk about how girls can become that kind of a friend that everyone needs. You know, the kind who lifts you up when life tries to drag you down. And we're joined by Sister Ruth Chagwinya, who is a girls coach who's going to be helping us, you know, unpack this one. Sister Ruth, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you today?
I'm good. It's been a minute.
It has. But it's lovely to talk to you again. It's always beautiful to talk to you.
Indeed. Next time we should do this thing on video, yeah, so people can see us on Facebook.
Right.
See me. So before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
All right, shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. God, we want to thank you for allowing us to speak once again, dear God, on issues of life. God, I ask that you may give us the right message, and you may inspire us, Lord, and use us in a great and mighty way. This is my prayer in your name. Amen.
Amen and amen. We're speaking about, you know, that one supportive friend. Sometimes, you know, some people are lucky they have those two supportive friends, you know, but usually it's just, it's that one, Joyaz and Jamie, if you call at 3 a.m., you know, they're available to you. But others would be asking themselves, Sister Ruth, what does it mean to be a truly supportive friend? What does that actually mean?
Okay, you know, friendship is a very interesting thing. And I want to start by saying that growing up, we are always taught how to look out for a good friend. A good friend should do this, a good friend should do that. And yet we are also not taught how to be a good friend. And I just want to say thank you to AWR for coming up with this topic, because in as much as we are looking for good friends, are we ourselves good friends? Who are we? So friendship is more than just about looking on the outside to find someone, but it's also on an inside work to say, what kind of a person am I? Am I a good friend? Am I a bad friend? The reason why they are bad friends, why there's good friends, it means that there's also bad friends. And which category are you falling under? And so today we are coming to say, young ladies, we are learning how to be a friend, how to be a friend, what is expected of a friend, what kind of a person are you? Are you a good friend? Are you a bad friend? There are narcissists out there. There are people who are manipulative. There are all kinds of people out there. Look into yourself and what kind of friend are you? So I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for such an insightful topic, you know, how to be a supportive friend, how to be a supportive friend. And I would like us to look at Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 39. There we find a group of friends who did the most amazing thing for their friend. And they show the greatest form of support that a friend can ever show. This is the story of the paralyzed man. And when his friends heard that Jesus was in town, these guys took their friends, took their friend, and, you know, realized that they could not get to Jesus through the crowd. And they went the extra mile, removed roof, you know, an entire rooftop, and lowered their friend to Jesus. I don't know how else to say a supportive friend should be, but to be a truly supportive friend, you must be willing to listen and empathize.
Okay.
Empathizing means that you are putting yourself in the feet of the next person. I may be your friend, Zah, and if I'm to be a supportive friend to you, I'm going to look at you and say, what is Zah going through? How can I help her? How can I be the best person to her? Often you find that in friendships, there are people who are very self-centered. It's all about them. They don't, they are your friend, yes, but when you come to a difficult spot in life, they are nowhere to be found. They cannot identify with what you are going through. They're not even making an effort. Let's say you are going through an illness.
Okay.
I think a supportive friend would go and research on the illness and start, you know, saying, how best can I help, sir? What does she need?
Yes.
What kind of resources can I give her? So it's taking an initiative to help, you know. Be practical in helping. You are taking an initiative to say, this is what she's going through.
Mm.
How can I be practical to her? How can I be adequate to her? Like these friends, we look at these friends and they knew their friend's need.
Mm.
You know, I think they would go sit by his house every day,
yes,
and be pained by the situation. But that did not stop them from being his friend.
Mm.
They were there with him. In his trouble, in his difficulty, they stood with their friend. And when they heard that an opportunity had come, a jackpot, there's a guy called Jesus in town. They said, this is it, guys.
Yeah.
This is the moment we have been waiting for. You know, let us go. Let us go. And maybe he's there like, no, guys, it's not necessary. You don't have to do this. You are no, we are taking you there no matter what.
Yeah.
You know? We don't care what you are going to say, but we care about you. We see what you are going through. We see it for you. We are walking in your feet, and we are going to take you to Jesus. And I'm saying, a true friend, a supportive friend will persevere with you through your challenge. You know, I have a friend. I had a challenge in life that took me down into a bed space for about 2 years.
Yeah.
And I had this one friend who would call me every morning at the same time every day. Ruth, how are you?
Yeah.
I'm going to pray for you.
Sure.
What is going? And she constantly, without fail, she would make that call.
Mm.
And I can say that for the longest time, she's the person who kept me alive.
Mm.
Her prayers kept me going. I knew that I don't have to lean on myself. I have someone who has allowed me to just lean wholly on them.
Yo.
And they have taken my burden to make it theirs. I have another friend who, in 2015, when I lost my dad, this friend of mine, I really, we are friends who really talk to each other. Mm. But when things have happened, I just called her and I said, hey, I've lost my dad.
Mm.
And her next question was, what time are we leaving for Zimbabwe?
Mm.
This is us here in Joburg. And the only question she asked me was, okay, so how are we getting to Zim? What time? How are we traveling? I couldn't travel with her, but I want to tell you that I got to Zim. And within an hour of me being there, she had arrived.
Yeah.
She was there for me the entire 7 days, the funeral. She was there.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying, that's what it means to be a truly supportive friend.
Mm.
And I'm saying a supportive friend will be like these four friends.
Mm.
They don't take you to Sangomas.
Mm.
They don't take you to the world. They take you to Jesus.
Yeah. Mm. So, you know, and I'm loving how I think almost all conversations, me and you, there's always a personal express that just comes through. And I love that the most, because some people, they're like, yeah, you guys, you are just speaking theory here. You don't know, you know, all of these things, you know. So I really appreciate that. So looking at, you know, there are some friends who, hey, they don't talk, man. You know, they don't talk, you know. So how can we now encourage them? I have one. He's my acquaintance, but I know he's a friend. He's just running away from G. And I think that one, Jay, you need to force, you know, in order to open up. And when you want to be there, you know, for some of our girl children, our girlfriends and everything else, it's a problem. And sometimes we give up saying, hey, Yazin, umuntu like me, I like their stuff. You know, and that's not the case. It's just that when we know better, we are able to know. Because I believe, you know, the example you gave about, you know, those four friends and that guy who they ended up taking to Jesus, they knew him. He opened up. You know, yes, they could see he's struggling to walk, but I believe that he would open up, say, hey, guys, you know, I'm struggling with 1, 2, 3, 4, if only I could. But how then now do we encourage our friends to say, hey, friend, show me, open up, man, you know, so that we can see what is what?
You know, sometimes we They're people who struggle to open up. They're people who are not talkers, who maybe have been taught that you don't share your problems. You know, we all come from different backgrounds and cultures, and we are taught different things. But I want to say that the friends in Luke 5 didn't force their friend to share the problem.
Yeah.
They simply brought him to Jesus. You know, they knew the problem, they could see it. And when the opportunity came, they used it. And I want to say that to encourage openness, first of all, we need to show that we are a safe space to somebody and non-judgmental.
Mm.
What usually happens is that in friendships, we are talking people.
Yes.
We are gossiping.
Yes.
We, you know, you are talking about other people's business. You have told me something personal, Zion. I run to you and I say, hey, do you know what happened?
Did you hear?
And already, you are showing that you are not a trustworthy person.
Yeah.
You are someone who, the moment you have heard something, you are running with it to the next person. You are their next topic. Are you a safe space? You know, when your business is now out in the open, you thought you were talking to somebody who could, who could keep your stuff, who was just safe. You know, safety means that you are not talking people's business. You are not judgmental. Are you a safe space in the first place?
Yeah.
So prove yourself to be a safe space. You need to purpose in your heart that this is the person that I am.
Very important.
I'm not going to be someone who talks other people's business.
Mm.
I'm not going to be someone who, you know, yeah, you are there. Well, whatever you've been told, you don't have a heart.
Yes.
You don't have a heart. It has to come out.
That is the phrase they say. They say, what you got? You've been kicked by a donkey on your chest.
Exactly.
Things don't stay.
Exactly. And so you need to show that you have say you're a safe space. And safety means that you are keeping people's business to yourself. You are not spreading it. And when you have been told people's business, sometimes it may not even make sense to you that I'm crying about my dog that died.
There
are things that you don't even get it. You don't get why this person is so upset and whatever, and they are broken and everything. Don't judge. They are who they are. Don't judge that person. Accept them, embrace them, empathize, do what you can to help them. And in that way, because you're not a judgmental person, this person will feel free to come and talk to you. They know that when I go there, I'm not judged. When I go there, I'm safe. And when someone has told you something, be genuine with them. Show genuine concern and empathy. You know, some of us, when we're told things, whatever, man, that's a very silly issue. Get over it. You know, again, you're just brushing somebody off. And yet something has really broken them.
Yeah.
I want to say that trauma is different from person to person. What may affect you may not affect me and vice versa. But if the fact that it's bothering you means that it's something that is of concern, something that needs care, something that needs you to be genuine. And to also encourage openness, you know, ask open-ended questions and also respect boundaries. Know that this friend will not tolerate this and they'll tolerate that. Know who you are talking to, and that way you know how best to handle them. And let us remember that in all these friendships, as we show support, as we are there, needing people to open up and so forth, it's God's role to heal and to transform. And our role is to support. Ours is to support. And when you find that someone is struggling to open up, I think the best that we can also do is pray for them, that the Holy Spirit may do a work that we cannot do.
Yeah.
We are still showing support. We are still showing support. And there are places where I can get to with user that I can't get to, that only God can get through to. We are not God.
Yep.
We just need God in these friendships. Yes.
This is quite eye-opening. To our listeners at home, if you do also want to engage with us, the number to dial is +27 734 703520. If you also want to share, you know, your relationship with your friends, you know, how you've made it to work and etc., please do not hesitate to get in touch with us. So now, Sister Ruth, there are some people who need their personal space, and their personal space takes forever. you know, to end, if we can call it that. You know, here you are, you know, you spoke about boundaries. Maybe some of us who wants to be that supportive, maybe we don't know the boundaries, or maybe the people that do want to do this, you know, they have not indicated to us, in fact, what their boundaries are. But how can we offer support now to a friend, you know, who's going through a tough time without us overwhelming them? Because we're going to try and be there. Kantumut like, yo, here she goes again. You understand? And they're feeling overwhelmed, like, you know. So how do we become there? How are we there without the person feeling like, nah, she has come again, you know? So how do we do that?
Yeah, you know, I think I also believe that friendships need to have open conversations.
Okay.
And you also need to read the room. That would be social intelligence. Know your person. Know how they handle things. Know that if I now do this, I'm overstepping, and this will affect them. Know that, know how to help that person. To know that, okay, I've brought them a meal, and they may not want to talk, but I'll just call and say, hey, I've dropped a meal by your door, and that's it, and you can walk away. As I said, you don't want to be overwhelming. Let us pray for wisdom on how to handle our friendships, on how to handle even family and whoever is around us. We need wisdom on these things. We can't do it by ourselves. And so we don't want to overwhelm. My prayer often is that, Lord, may I be adequate to this person. Give me wisdom on how to handle them through whatever they are going through. We need to ask God to show us how to be adequate to the people around us.
Yeah.
And so some of the ways we can show support is being present, physical presence. You can be there or just make regular check-ins, the regular phone calls, the regular drop-in, you know, offer practical help, you know, run errands for them, make a meal, you know, just be practical. Maybe they need help with the laundry, just run their wash and whatever. Or, you know, sometimes just take them out. You say, hi, I've come to pick you up, you know. And don't go to a place where, you know, they don't want to talk, but you bring them to an intimate place. Go to Gold Reef, run, jump, you know, let out that energy. And they come back tired and refreshed, and they'll just pass out and sleep, you know. So we need wisdom on how to handle these situations. And we can pray with them and pray for them. And sometimes we now need to go the extra mile.
Yeah.
And connect with people, connect them with practical people, you know, resources to say, I think, reach out to so-and-so, their psychologist, reach out to so-and-so, their counselor, reach out to so-and-so, they can help you clean the house.
Yes.
You know, so let us be practical. Let us be practical. Yes.
I remember there was sometime when I was very, not really active, but where I would browse Twitter. It was still Twitter a lot. And I remember I came across this post. I think it's Florence Masebe, the actress, where she mentioned that sometimes the best way to be there for a person is just to get there, sit and be quiet. And then she also spoke about, you know, when we're visiting, when people have died, you know, when we are getting there, she's like, it's not always that you have to say something. Just you by getting there and giving that person a hug, or just getting there, sitting and keeping quiet because they see you. And then her comments were coming through where people were even raising issues with him. That time, for example, you're grieving, ne? You're still trying to make sense of these things. And then, I know some were shading the Christians. And then someone was like, you hear now someone coming through and saying, what God gives, God takes. some would even say... Some would even come and say, it is well, God knows. That time, you are still grieving with this tragedy that happens, and now we are comforting. And in fact, we even quote scripture, my sister, born, there is a time for living, there is a time for dying. And then she was actually making the argument that even though, yes, that is well said, you know, it's coming from a good place, but sometimes just get their seat, keep quiet, you know, don't say anything. Exactly. As long as we can see that you're there, we appreciate, you know, the comfort that you are there. you don't know to say, you don't have to say anything, because hey, sometimes when you're saying things, you are pushing us further somewhere. And now tying it back, you know, to what you said, don't take your friend to a place where now Mike and Bean, you know, we're sitting there drinking our chai tea. Now you feel pressured to talk. And you, at that point in time, you just want to keep quiet yourself, because what you're going through, maybe you're still dealing with it in your head, you know, you're trying to make sense of it and everything else. And sometimes just knowing that, hey, girl, open up, you know, I've sent Uber to you. So because you know that person, they're not in a good state that they can cook for themselves. Maratina, bona. Chow me. Gotta care about chow me. Like, guys, no, man.
God help us. Well, we do the most. We do the most. Yo. I think, you know, we need to... So sometimes I think we're just so anxious, and actually you don't know what to say.
Yes.
And so you end up saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And there are things that we need to unlearn and learn. You know, we need to unlearn some of these things. Maybe it comes from our culture.
Hey.
And as I said, let us pray for these things, you know, before we go to say, God, help me not to speak amiss.
Hey.
Give me the right thing to say, you know. Once again, help me to be adequate.
Yeah. Yep. So now, you know, we are there for this friend, like with the examples we've given. Now we're there. We give them the space, you know. We organize food for them. We organize, you know, because they're going through something and everything else. Or maybe even if it's not that, you know, that far more, maybe just, you know, talking to your friend, you know, they're always opening up to you. They're doing I have vent sessions, me myself, you know, I'm always venting there if I need to vent, you know, to this particular friend. But how now, if I were to have that kind of a girl friend who's there, how do I, guys, how do I now balance me being there for this person and my own emotions? Because there's a lot, you know, there's only so much that I can take off your own, you know, issues. Because something that I should highlight there, I don't know if it's a danger or something, it's when we are needed the most, that is when now we are on empty and we can't be there anymore. Like, senka telling out, you know, can't all this other time we were not necessary, it was not necessary, we're not taking care of our own emotions because you want to be that friend, you know, kind of that time you are running on empty. So how do we balance, you know, being there for this friend, whatever situation they're going through, but also making sure that I take care of myself? Because at the end of the day, I also need to be, you know, to be refueled. I need some sustenance to go on.
That is very true. We need to fill our cup. Isn't that so?
Yep.
We need to, as we are pouring out to others, we also need to find a way to fill our cup. Otherwise, you're running on empty. And when you're now on empty, you are not the best version of yourself. And it says, Jesus, I'm drawn to Jesus' story where he withdrew to a lonely place to pray. Jesus always made time for himself. He always withdrew. He always went away to pray. He always went away to reboot, to find himself, to, you know, fill his cup once again, such that when he came out to the people, he would be a good Jesus to everyone. Not a snapping Jesus, not an angry Jesus, not, you know, but he has gone and taken care of himself. And I'm saying, ladies, we need to intentionally make time for ourselves. We need to practice self-care, emotional self-care, mental self-care, physical self-care, whatever form of self-care you need to take care of yourself. You need to watch yourself to say, what is my graph looking like right now spiritually? How am I spiritually? How am I mentally? How am I emotionally? How am I physically? What level am I at? Am I at a 5 or am I at a 10? Am I at a 0? What do I need to do to get myself back at 10? What is depleting me? What is, you know, what is fueling me.
Yeah.
You need to know that about yourself. You need to take care of yourself. You need to be self-aware to always know that this is where I am and this is what I now need to do.
Yeah.
And I believe that is what Jesus also did.
Yes.
When every time he felt he was now depleted, he went away to pray. And so it is possible to balance support and self-care.
Mm.
It's okay to say, at the moment, I'm not available. May I reach out to you a bit later?
Yeah.
May I, do this and that? At the moment, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say hold on. It's okay to have boundaries, healthy boundaries.
Mm.
You know when you can and you know when you cannot. A lot of us bend ourselves backwards and forwards and find that at the end of the day, everyone is filled and you are so tangled. You don't know what to do with yourself anymore. So first of all, make time for self-care. Intentionally make time for self-care.
Mm.
Make time for yourself. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's allowed. And so prioritize your relationship with God. Make sure that you are still in touch and in tune with your God.
Mm.
Set healthy boundaries. We've spoken about that. Take time for self-reflection and rest. If you need to rest, if you need to sleep, if whatever you need, do that.
Yeah.
And such that when you wake up, you are ready to face the day. You are ready to face whatever is coming your way. You can talk to anyone. You are giving the best of yourself. And, surround yourself with supportive community.
Yes.
Have your people, have your village. Know that, I'm tired. I need a time out. I can just duck my house and dash to Zah's house and say, hey, Chomi, I need to sleep. And you'll be like, no problem. There's a bedroom right there. Chill, rest.
Yeah.
Do what you need to do. You know, we should be such friends where we can reach out, without judgment, without judgment, without feeling unsafe, without feeling whatever, and just say, I know that if I reach out to Zah with such a thing, she's going to be there for me. If I tell her I need ABC, this is what I'm going through, she will know what exactly to do, So it's okay to take care of yourself. Make time for yourself.
Yeah.
Make time for yourself. Yes.
Mm. And that is very much important today. Oh, Sister Ruth, it's always a pleasure, speaking to you. I know that even me and Jay, who's not a girl anymore, I'm a lady, I think. we're learning.
You know what? It's okay. Nobody taught us how to be friends.
Yes.
Nobody taught us, so it's okay.
Yes. We are there, guys. We are there, so it's okay. So I'm going to ask, that as we close, Sister Ruth, you may pray for us, so that we may teach our young girls how to be better friends because we know better. And also, even in our adult age, we may be better friends to the ones that we have. Because there are people that don't have friends. It's all the honest truth, so that when we do, we may, treat those friendships better. So if you can please pray for us.
Okay, shall we pray? Our Father who is in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to have this wholesome conversation, dear God. Father, there are many among us who are with the wrong friends. Father, may you open our eyes and remove us from friendships, Lord, that are draining us, that are killing us, that are not serving us in the right way. Father, we are also praying that as we are looking out for good friends, Father, may you also mold us to be good friends to those we come across, dear God. Father, may you align us with the right friendships, dear Father in heaven. Some of us, we are with people we have no business being with, dear God. People who are taking us away from you, people who do not align with our values, dear Father. Oh Lord in heaven, may you open our eyes, dear God. May you remove us, dear God. We don't know, some of us don't know how to get out of those places, but Lord, in a special way, do your work, dear God. And may you put us in the right places, dear God, with people who bring out the best of us, with people who protect us when we are not there, with women, dear God, who straighten our crowns in private and don't go preaching about it, dear God. Father, please just help us to be good friends and help us, Lord, to find good friends. This is my prayer in your name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Sister Ruth, it's always a pleasure speaking to you. May you have yourself a blessed super duper day.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Zai. It's always beautiful talking to you.
Indeed.
And God bless you.
Amen and amen. Thank you, sis.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.